We had studies over the Nashville music scene. We didn't get that much to the other part of the state. Here now is David Evans.
Thank you. I'm going to present in the brief time that we have a very kind of gross overview, I guess, of the history of Memphis recording. There have been thousands of recordings made in Memphis over the years, and quite a lot of these are of some real artistic merit or historical significance, so there's no way we can do anything more than hit a few highlights in the time that we have. But one question, I guess, that any study of the music recorded in a city or a region raises is really what is the nature of the area's music, or in this case, what is Memphis music? And we have to contend with both definitions that are formed from within the city or the region and definitions that are formed from without. And these do not always necessarily coincide. The groundwork for commercial music recording in Memphis was actually laid by publishing companies early in the 20th century. And there was a local publishing scene centered around the O.K. Houck Music Company. The publications were mostly of popular songs and ragtime tunes for the first decade of the 20th century. I don't think we could say there were any real hit songs coming out of Memphis, but there was a flow of them, making Memphis a regional center of some importance in publishing. The first real publishing hit to come out of Memphis was W.C. Handy's publication of the Memphis Blues in 1912, followed by several other hits, the St. Louis Blues, the Beale Street Blues, Yellow Dog Blues, and so on in the middle of the decade until he moved to New York in 1918, I believe it was, or 1917. And so these hits, Handy set up a publishing company in Memphis, located on Beale Street, the street that he immortalized in his Beale Street Blues. And these hit blues songs of Handy's indelibly stamped Memphis with the reputation of the home of the blues, which indeed it had a fair claim to being. It was a major center of live blues activity as well as publication of songs that were circulated all over the nation. At this time in the teens, there was, of course, no regional recording activity in America. And so artists from this period, as well as the early 1920s, who did want to record, or in one way or another had the opportunity to record, had to go elsewhere, specifically to New York. And a number of early Memphis artists in the blues and jazz fields did go to New York. W.C. Handy himself took a portion of his Memphis blues band and recorded for Columbia in 1917, probably the first Memphis artist to make commercial recordings, as well as the first earlier to have a hit song publication. And Johnny Dunn, the famous jazz trumpeter, was from Memphis and also recorded for Columbia in the early 1920s. In fact, he was basically the jazz trumpet king until King Oliver and Louis Armstrong literally blew him away. And Charles H. Booker, a Memphis band leader and songwriter in the Handy mold, made a few recordings in the early 1920s, leaving Memphis for New York, where he apparently settled. Bob Miller, a white man who composed blues, had several of his blues recorded in the early and mid-1920s by black singers, and then later in the 1920s he moved to New York and entered the country and western songwriting field, and also became a performer, and had great success both as a songwriter and a recording artist, though to my knowledge he did not record in Memphis. He may have come back for a session, I'm not quite sure about that. And another singer who recorded around 1925 for Brunswick was Harry Philwin, a popular singer who was billed on the Brunswick label as the Memphis singer, and even composed one song of topical interest, the Judge Cliff Davis Blues. Philwin was white and was one of the first white recording artists to from Memphis to do blues, anticipating Elvis Presley by almost 30 years. At any rate, it was not until 1927 that actual recordings were made on location in Memphis. And between 1927 and 1930, five record companies did field sessions in Memphis. Of course, they were recording in other cities around the country, in the South, most notably Atlanta and Dallas, occasionally in New Orleans, Nashville, and Savannah, and other locations. But Memphis, along with Atlanta and Dallas, was one of the major centers for field recording activity in the late 1920s. Between 1927 and 1930, as I said, five companies recorded there. Victor was far and away the most active in Memphis, and I think it might be fair to say that Memphis was the main southern recording center for Victor Records during this period. They had the first recording session in Memphis in February and March of 1927 in the McCall Building. Then they came back less than a year later, and in January and February of 1928, they recorded in the Municipal Auditorium, which was a recently constructed building now known as Ellis Auditorium. And then they returned again in August and September of 1928, recorded at an unknown location, but again probably the auditorium. And then a year later, in September and October of 1929, they recorded in the Municipal Auditorium. In May and June of 1930, they returned and recorded in the same location, and also in the same location in November of 1930. So that represented six times Victor Records came to Memphis, and by far they got the lock on the best and the most commercial talent that was available in Memphis. Columbia did only one session in December of 1927 at an unknown location, followed by OK in February of 1928, also at an unknown location. They didn't record a great deal of material, and neither company had any extraordinary commercial success with their recordings, although some very fine material was recorded, artistically fine material. Brunswick and Vocalion did not get into the act until 1929, and material from two sessions came out on both labels, which were associated with one another. In September and October of 1929, they recorded at the Peabody Hotel, and which is one of the South's finest hotels and has been recently renovated. And then in February of 1930, they recorded at an unknown location. So those were the sessions. The first group to be recorded was, appropriately enough, the Memphis Jug Band, playing a type of music that was quite distinct to Memphis and several other southern cities, most notably Louisville. And I would like to play the first Memphis recording in its entirety as a kind of tribute to everything that has followed in the city of Memphis. This is Sun Brimmer Blues by the Memphis Jug Band. Son Brimmer was the nickname of the leader of the group, Will Shade, who plays the harmonica on this piece. The vocal is actually handled by a young singer named Will Weldon, who went on to record through the 1930s as Casey Bill, and also led groups such as the Brown Bombers of Swing. Son Brimmer Blues was released on Victor 20552, recorded February 24th, 1927. The master number is 37941, take 3.
And I'm going to the river, gonna buy me a rocking chair. And I'm going to the river, gonna buy me a rocking chair. When the blues overtake me, gonna rock 'em way away from here. And then I, mama, tell me what's the matter now. And it's all, mama, tell me what's the matter now. And you're trying to leave me, Lord, and you don't know how. My baby got a head like a rock cast in the sea. She got a mind like a rock, got a mind like a marble stone. And the fishing well gonna take on over.
Recording. Jug band music was a distinctly urban type of music, but it was performed by people who had come into the southern cities from the country. There were three important jug bands recorded in Memphis during this period, not only the Memphis Jug Band, which had a somewhat shifting personnel, though always centered around Will Shade, the leader of the group. There was Cannon's Jug Stompers, centered around Gus Cannon, a singer and banjo player, and featuring the great harmonica player Noah Lewis, and then Jed Davenport and his Beale Street Jug Band. There was a lot of recording during this period, 1927 to 1930, of blues singers, most of them solo or appearing in very small combinations. Of course, a major part of the repertoire of the jug bands was also blues. Among the female blues singers to record in Memphis at this time were Sadie James, Bessie Tucker, Minnie Wallace, Jenny Pope, and the great Memphis Minnie, and an even larger number of male self-accompanied blues singers recorded, Jim Jackson, Frank Stokes, Tommy Johnson, Furry Lewis, Robert Wilkins, John Estes, Booker White, Roosevelt Sykes, Louis Black, John Hurt, Lonnie Johnson, Kokomo Arnold, all recorded. Not all of these were from Memphis. Memphis served as an important regional center, and some of them were passing through or came from long distances. Lonnie Johnson was probably working in the South at the time, and it happened to coincide with his schedule that he could be near Memphis for a recording session. John Hurt was from Avalon, Mississippi in the Delta. Roosevelt Sykes from St. Louis. Tommy Johnson from Jackson, Mississippi, and so on. Many others were from northern Mississippi, just outside Memphis, and some of them, the artists, were, of course, resident in Memphis. It was easy to find blues artists. They would hang out on Beale Street. Some would perform on the street itself. Others would stay upstairs in Howard Yancey's store. Yancey was a promoter of talent, and he kept a room or a lounge in his place, and when anyone came to him looking for a band, he'd simply go upstairs and round up a bunch of musicians and send them out on a job. So it wasn't hard for the record companies to find talent in Memphis. I'll give you an example of one of the great male blues singers from Memphis who's recorded, the late Furry Lewis, playing Creeper's Blues, recorded for Vocalion 1547, recorded in September 22, 1929 at the Peabody Hotel.
I woke up this morning and I looked up against the wall. I woke up this morning and I looked up against the wall. Roaches in the bed was playing a game of ball. Four was 20, nothing, the roaches was ahead. Four was 20, nothing, the roaches was ahead. Roaches got the fighting and kicked me out of bed. Bed bugs so bad, pull a pillow from under my head. Bed bugs so bad, pull a pillow from under my head. They got a Winchester rifle and try to kill me dead.
Okay. A lot of religious music was also recorded in Memphis at this time. It happened that Memphis was the world headquarters of the Church of God in Christ, commonly known as the Sanctified Church, founded by Bishop Charles H. Mason in 1895. And this denomination, like other Pentecostal denominations formed around the same period, emphasized the use of musical instruments in the church services and developed a whole repertoire and style of singing and performing that has, over the years, had vast influence on black gospel music and through that on various types of popular music. So many secular musicians have converted to the Sanctified Church and kept up their musical activities there. The record companies evidently saw this as a potential market, a kind of specialized market, and recorded quite a bit of sanctified music in Memphis as well as elsewhere, particularly in Chicago during the late 1920s. Here is a group that was called simply the Memphis Sanctified Singers, featuring the extraordinary vocals of Bessie Johnson. The other singers are B. Taylor and Sally Sumler, and the ever-present Will Shade of the Memphis Jug Band is on guitar. In fact, there are some sanctified recordings that even feature jug, and one wonders whether that was an instrument used in church services. Probably was. This is a recording of He's Got Better Things for You, recorded October 1st, 1929, and issued on Victor V38559. Listen to this vocal by Bessie Johnson.
Kind friends, I want to tell you, because I love your soul, and no doubt you've been converted, but the bay never been told.
Sanctified church that fostered this shouting style that has now become so prevalent in gospel, particularly in the years after World War II. But there you hear it, hear quite an early version or rendition in that style. Among the sanctified artists who recorded in Memphis were A.C. Forehand and his wife, Blind Mamie Forehand, Elder Lonnie McIntosh, Elder Richard Bryant, and of course Bessie Johnson and the Memphis Sanctified Singers, and another group called the Holy Ghost Sanctified Singers. Preachers were also recorded, and on some of the early preaching recordings of the 1920s, we have not only some extraordinary sermons, often on very interesting topics of current events and so on, and recreating black church services, but also some of the few early recorded examples of unaccompanied congregational spiritual singing. Here is Reverend E.D. Campbell, who was a preacher probably from Memphis, with Sisters Watkins and Dunlap and Brother Griffin from his congregation, doing Daniel Prayed Three Times a Day. This is recorded for Victor, released on Victor 20546, recorded February 26, 1927.
Calvary, 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 died on Calvary. Every time I think about Jesus, every time I think about Jesus, every time I think about Jesus, surely died on my Calvary. My brothers and sisters, you find my text today that I'm talking from the third chapter of Daniel.
Well,
and
Daniel prayed three times a day. Right. In the time you find Daniel being a representative for God,
well,
was a man prayed three times a day.
Well,
Nebuchadnezzar the king brought up a tree for no man to be called prayed.
Other preachers who recorded Memphis, Reverend Sutton E. Griggs, who was the author of several novels, which are sort of classics in black literature, a couple of preachers from the Delta, Reverend Holt and Reverend C.F. Thornton, an extraordinary preacher from Greenwood, Mississippi, and also Reverend J.M. Gates, the great Atlanta preacher, was brought over for a session on O.K. In addition to Sanctify music and black preachers, black quartets were recorded in Memphis. A group from Mobile, Alabama was brought up, the Bethel Quartet. Another couple groups associated with railroad lines, made up evidently of Pullman porters or railroad yard workers, the Missouri Pacific Lines Booster Quartet, and the IC Colored Glee Club, which was an extraordinary group. Unfortunately, their Memphis recordings were never issued, but they did a later session in Atlanta with some really wonderful music. And a group from Holly Springs, Mississippi, some students at Rust College recorded, and also another group, the Memphis Pullman Porters Chorus. I'd like to play a recording of the Rust College Quartet. Most of these students were local students from northern Mississippi and the Memphis area. Rust College still has a very fine singing tradition and puts on an annual blues and gospel festival of featuring local talent. This is Oh How He Lied, a secular tune, recorded December 10th, 1927, and issued on Columbia 14307D.
He sat in the window, smoked a cigar, smoked a cigar, smoked a cigar. He sat in the window, smoked a cigar, smoked a cigar. He told her he loved her, but oh, I lied, oh, I lied, oh, I lied. He told her he loved her, but oh, I lied, oh, how he lied. He sat in the window and picked a guitar, picked a guitar, picked a guitar. He sat in the window and picked a guitar, picked a guitar. He told her he loved her, but oh, I lied, oh, I lied, oh, I lied. He told her he loved her, but oh, I lied, oh, how he lied. He fell for his music and oh, how she sighed, oh, how she sighed, oh, how she sighed. She fell for his music and oh, how she sighed, oh, how she sighed.
It was the kind of style that was popular among black undergraduates at the time. In addition to blues and church music and quartets, which did both sacred and secular music, jazz and dance bands were recorded in these Memphis sessions. Among them, Charlie Williamson's Beale Street Frolic Orchestra, which was basically the house band at the Palace Theater on Beale Street. Douglas Williams IV. Douglas Williams was a clarinet player. The Chickasaw Syncopators, which later went on with some personnel changes to become Jimmy Lunsford's big band, recorded in 1927 for Columbia. The Memphis Stompers, Blue Steel and his orchestra, Slim Lamar and his Southerners, and Mark Britt and his orchestra. These last three were nationally known bands that happened to be located at the time at Memphis hotels and were playing extended engagements there. Let me play you a little bit of Douglas Williams and his orchestra. This is a black group recorded in September 26, 1929. The title is Pee Wee's Strut, named after Pee Wee's Saloon. This is the famous saloon on Beale Street where W.C. Handy claims to have written the Memphis Blues. And it was issued on Victor V38550. Features Douglas Williams on clarinet, Nathaniel Williams on cornet, Edgar Brown on piano, Melvin Parker guitar, and Sam Sims on drums.
Thank you.
like this played in black theaters. A lot of them had quite a few white engagements as well. It's a more formal style than New Orleans jazz of the period. It's not nearly as hot. Probably a legacy that goes back to W.C. Handy and his published blues. And I mentioned the white dance bands that were active at the time in the major hotels. Here's Blue Steel and his orchestra doing You Darlin', recorded on Victor 22436, May 15th, 1930. This has a vocal by Ernie Winburn. So this represents another side of Memphis music, a type that was not so regional in character, but was nationally popular and appealed to the middle and upper classes. This is pretty straight pop music, though the next two masters recorded by Blue Steel were all muddled up and shooing flies. A lot of older people, when you talk to them about Memphis music, this is what they think of. People in Memphis.
How'd you ever come to me, you darling? How could such a wonder be, you darling? Just to realize you're mine sends a shiver off my spine. Loving you is so divine, you darling. Let me take you by the hand, you darling. Hope you'll always understand, you darling.
Expecting Moon, June, and Spoon to come up any moment.
Today, you'll still hear me say, I'm in love with you, just you.
Although Nashville now is known as Music City and is famous as a recording center for country music, in this early period, far more country music was recorded in Memphis than in Nashville. Many of the artists were brought in from the surrounding area. Very few were resident in Memphis. And I should also mention before that a few popular vocalists were recorded in Memphis, as well as dance bands, notably Irene Beasley, who had a few minor hits for Victor, and Bob Nolan. Getting back to the hillbilly singers, among those that were recorded, usually brought in from a long distance away, were Doc Walsh, Grayson and Witter, Jimmy Davis, the Carter family, Uncle Dave Macon, Wheeler and Lamb, Fleming and Townsend, and the Allen Brothers. Some were brought in from East Tennessee, others from Arkansas, northern Mississippi, and parts of western Tennessee outside of Memphis. Here is a duet, Wheeler and Lamb, who were probably from northern Mississippi, one of the few white groups from the Delta to record. This is probably the duet that Booker White, the blues singer, recalled as having refused to ride to the session in the same car with him. The session was organized by Ralph Lembo, a furniture store owner from Itabena, Mississippi, and who wanted to drive both white and black artists up to Memphis in his Studebaker. And Wheeler and Lamb, probably it was them, refused and came up the next day. So this is what they sound like doing I'll Ever Be Faithful to You. On Victor 23755, recorded May 27th, 1930.
Mm-hmm.
Also, string bands were recorded, many of them coming from Arkansas, the Ozarks, and from northeastern Mississippi. Pope's Arkansas Mountaineers, Floyd Ming and his Pep Steppers. Floyd Ming, whose actual name was Hoyt Ming, just died a couple weeks ago in Mississippi, Ackerman, Mississippi. Dr. Smith's Champion Horsehair Pullers. The Mississippi Possum Hunters, Ashley's Melody Makers from the Ozarks, the Carolina Tar Heels, even recorded in Memphis, and Jack Cauley's Oklahoma Ridge Runners were brought over there from the eastern part of Oklahoma. Here's Ashley's Melody Men, an Ozark group doing the bathhouse blues, referring to, in the title, referring to the baths at Hot Springs, Arkansas. Recorded October 2nd, 1929, for Victor V40158. This was a group from Searcy County, Arkansas. Type of white country music that was brought in was from a long distance was Cajun music, and Memphis even served as a center for recording this type of music. Leo Swallow and Morse Robin and Columbus Frugier recorded in Memphis for Victor during this period. Also white religious music and also a white preacher, Reverend C.M. Grayson, were recorded in Memphis. Among the religious singers were George Long and his singers, the Macedonia Quartet, the Stamps Quartet, the Vaughn Happy Two, these latter two groups sponsored by publishing companies, and the First Methodist Church Choir of Memphis, representing a more urbanized southern white sacred music style. I'd like to play George Long and his singers. This is a group undoubtedly from the country, perhaps from Mississippi, doing I'm Going Home to Die No More. This consists of five men and two ladies, recorded in the McCall Building, and the title was released on Victor 20567. Very traditional southern sacred music.
Thank you.
cut this a little bit short. All this wonderful recording activity came to an end in 1930 as the Depression set in, and this launched what I call the Dark Ages of Memphis recording. Between 1931 and 1950, there was only one commercial recording session held in Memphis. This was in 1939, where a few artists were recorded for the Vocalion label of American Record Corporation. Both blues and country music was recorded at this time. Some very interesting material that gives some of our few slight clues to what was going on in Memphis and the Deep South during this important transitional period in music prior to World War II. Here's a little excerpt of Little Buddy Doyle, who was called Little Buddy because he was a midget. He was from Somerville, Tennessee, sang and played guitar, and he was accompanied on second guitar by Jack Kelly and on harmonica by Hammy Nixon. Here's a little bit of his Renewed Love Blues. Recorded July 14th, 1939, and issued on Vocalion 05771.
Now, baby, let's stop all the foolishness and try to renew love all again.
Groups like this were anticipating the electric blues groups of the post-war period. One of the most extraordinary groups to come out from Memphis, a Western swing group known as the Swift Jewel Cowboys, sponsored by Jewel Flower Company. This is an original piece called The Memphis Oomph. Of all Western swing groups that ever recorded, at least the Southern groups from this period, this group perhaps was closest to jazz. In fact, many of the musicians were professional musicians, and it featured a lead clarinet and trumpet. Also on this recording are guitar, drums, accordion, string bass, and fiddle. Here you find the country and the urban traditions mixed, very nicely blended. These artists were also expert horsemen, and they used to put on shows of trick riding followed by music like this. They were radio artists and toured all over the Mid-South. Thank you. I'm going to have to cut this very short. While other regional music centers began or started up again immediately following World War II in places like New Orleans and Chicago, Memphis did not begin to have any commercial music recording activity until 1950, and it was the brilliant Sam Phillips who launched this new era in Memphis music with his Memphis Recording Service, which started as a custom recording service for anyone who wanted to record. This was how he found Elvis Presley. But he began leasing masters of artists that came into his studio to Chess and Modern Records in 1950, and eventually founded his own Sun Record Company in 1952. A number of these, the acetates that he recorded as custom records, basically demos for artists, exist in Memphis, and I was fortunate enough to acquire a collection that belonged to Frank Perkins, the late leader of a gospel quartet known as the Sons of Jehovah. And in the over 50 acetates in his collection, he also did home recordings himself, were a couple of them with the Memphis Recording Service label. So here is the Sons of Jehovah, this will be the last example, doing I, John Saw, recorded by Sam Phillips in 1951.
Well, I, John Saw, holding number, the big black line is on the rolling thunder. I, John Saw, holding number, away in the middle of the day. Well, I, John Saw, holding number, the six black line is on the rolling thunder. I, John Saw, holding number, away in the middle of the air. Well, some said John was a teacher, well, some said John was a Jew, but the Holy Bible tells me that John was a preacher too. Well, I, John Saw, holy number, sings like lightning, saw the rolling thunder.
Sorry, I don't have time to continue this up to the present. At Memphis State, we have set up a recording company, and we have our own studio, High Water Records, and I am, through the releases, trying to basically continue this tradition of recording indigenous, local, and regional music. And I do have a few catalogs of our 45s and albums for those of you that might be interested in hearing what the music of Memphis and the region sounds like today. All of our releases so far are in the blues and gospel fields.
Thank you. Time marches on. Now, while we're giving just a couple of brief announcements, we strongly urge anybody behind, let's say, the fourth or fifth row to come on, move up here, because some of the visuals are going to be on television, on the TV screen, for both Peter's talk and also for Bob O'Brien's talk. So, you know, we just have 21 inches, not 8 feet diagonal here. Harold Heckendorn would like to make an announcement right now.
Very briefly, I just want to remind you that we have an archive, that we're collecting the archives for the organization, and we're looking for information, particularly in the early areas, and we've got some feelers on that, but we also are interested in anything in connection with this meeting, any publicity, or any activities that you might be doing, or anything that a member of the Association of Recorded Sound Collections is doing. Please send it to me. My address is in the last bulletin, and it's on your list, too. Thank you.